The Nobel Prize-winning author Hermann Hesse wrote a story called Journey to the East. In the story, we see a band of men on a mythical journey. The central figure of the story is Leo, who accompanies the party as the servant who does their menial chores, but who also sustains them with his spirit and his song. He is a person of extraordinary presence. All goes well until Leo disappears. Then the group falls into disarray and the journey is abandoned. They can't make it without the servant Leo. The narrator, one of the party, after some years of wandering, finds Leo and is taken into the order that had previously sponsored the journey. There he discovers that Leo, whom he had only known as a servant, was in fact the head of the order, the guiding spirit, a great and noble leader. Inspired by this story, in 1970, a man called Robert K. Greenleaf published a revolutionary essay on business management, which he entitled The Servant as a Leader. His argument was that a leader's main priority should be to serve rather than to lead. Greenleaf proposed that servant leaders should make the needs of others their main priority and measure success in the growth of others. He said, leaders should seek to be servants first, caring for the needs of all others around them, causing the ones they serve to become healthier and wiser, guiding them towards self-fulfillment and self-improvement. Greenleaf believed the betterment of others to be the true intention of a servant leader. I serve in opposition to the traditional I lead mentality. Now, I don't know whether Hermann Hesse or Mr. Greenleaf had in the back of their minds, consciously or unconsciously, the thought that the greatest servant leader the world has ever known had taught this lesson to a little band of followers the night before he was put to death on a cross, nor that he gave his life as a sacrifice in our place and rose again for the redemption of our sins in the greatest example ever of servant leadership. But whether they did or not, it is a fact that Jesus, in his life on earth, gave us perfect examples of how service to others should be done. And the Bible passage that we're studying today is just such an example. We're now going to hear the story from John's Gospel.
The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 13, verses 3 to 17. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. May God bless his word to us. Thank you.
Now, I don't know whether any of you have ever had your feet washed. I have, and I have to say it was probably one of the most embarrassing experiences I've ever had. But it is a ritual that does take place in churches from time to time. Now, I don't know why I was embarrassed, because actually I have beautiful feet. How do I know I've got beautiful feet? Well, I've been told by an expert. When I went for my last diabetes check, which some of you may know involves having your feet examined, the diabetes nurse quite seriously said to me, "You really do have beautiful feet." So there, it's true. But of course, nowadays, we don't tend to engage in foot washing. But in those days, there was nothing unusual about washing feet in the Holy Land. Walking any distance on the roads and tracks had two effects on one's feet. Firstly, they'd soon become very dirty from the dust which they picked up. And secondly, if one walked any distance, they'd become tired and start aching from walking on those flat-soled sandals or shoes. Therefore, it was common practice to wash one's feet before entering someone's house or most public buildings, so that the feet became clean and refreshed. When entering a rich person's house, there'd be a Gentile servant who would wash guests' feet. Otherwise, a Jew would only wash their own feet, because the task was too demeaning for them to stoop so low as to wash someone else's. So there were two things which were remarkable about Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet. Firstly, they would have actually already washed their own feet on entering the building. And secondly, that Jesus, as their leader, should undertake this menial task. Of course, Jesus was doing this as a symbolic act to teach his disciples by setting an example of the mindset that they should adopt in their behaviour to each other. In looking at this passage, I found two lessons from Jesus' teaching and the examples he was setting that can be summed up under the headings of holiness and humility. And I believe we can honour Jesus by seeking to practice both of them in our lives. Let us look first at holiness and study what Jesus has to tell us. While he was washing the disciples' feet, when Jesus came to him, Peter said, "You're not going to wash my feet ever." Jesus said, "If I don't wash you, you can't be part of what I'm doing." To which Peter replies, "Not only my feet then, wash my hands, wash my head." And Jesus says, "If you've had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now, and you're clean from head to toe." My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. Jesus was clearly referring to spiritual washing, the cleansing from sin that he was illustrating by washing Peter's feet and the feet of the others. Peter was already saved, so Jesus wasn't talking about that initial cleansing that happens when we give our lives to the Lord, but he was referring to that constant spiritual cleansing that we all need. Although sin is no longer taking the lead in our lives, the fact remains that we do sin. And consequently, we all need that cleansing, just as people in the first century needed to have their feet washed from time to time as they went about their daily activities and travelled the dusty tracks of that day and time. And as we walk the roadways of life today, we're unfortunately going to pick up some of the filth of the world. And therefore, we need to come to Christ daily for that secondary type of cleansing in order to have constant, close, daily fellowship with him. We need, so to speak, to have our feet washed on a daily basis. We need that constant spiritual cleansing that only Christ can bring. And again, as we walk the paths of life, especially if we've been on the journey with Christ for some time, our faith can become jaded, lifeless, a pale shadow of the joyful enthusiasm we felt when we first came to the Lord. So as well as cleansing, we need the spiritual refreshment of that daily foot washing. We need to let Christ, living water, flood through our soul, allowing it to lift our spirits once again. And so we firstly see how we can honour Christ by constantly coming to him during our daily life for that cleansing and refreshment that only he can bring. Secondly, let's look at what Jesus teaches about humility. To understand this lesson, we need to go back in time from Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet. When Jesus and the 12 were en route to Jerusalem, we see in Mark chapter 10 that James and John were concerned with their own egos. They said to him, "Let us sit on your right and left hand in your glory." We read in Matthew chapter 20 that their mother made a similar appeal to Jesus on her son's behalf. Every indication is that not only James and John, but the other disciples as well, were full of egotism and self-interest. Even as they were gathered around the Passover table, the disciples had been bickering about who was to be the greatest in the kingdom that they imagined was coming when Jesus came to glory. Jesus had to intervene, saying, "Kings like to throw their weight around, and people in authority like to give themselves fancy titles. It's not going to be that way with you. Let the senior among you become like the junior. Let the leader act the part of the servant." And then Jesus goes on to reinforce this lesson by washing their feet, the act of complete humility for a Jew. Nowadays, of course, we don't necessarily need to wash one another's feet to show our humility, although it's still practiced as a ritual in some churches, and as I said earlier, and can be embarrassing as well. Some of you may have experienced it yourselves, and you may have been as embarrassed as I was. But there are many other ways of serving others with humility that are more appropriate to the society we live in today. Demonstrating kindness and love without boundaries. Loving each other means that we sometimes have to get our hands dirty, so to speak. Christ's gesture showed that no expression of love was beneath him. And in doing so, he tells us that it should be that way for us too. This powerful display of love calls for us to remove the boundaries that can dictate how we express love for each other. We need to abandon our notions of societal hierarchy. The structures of hierarchy in our society, in our fellowship, even in our own relationships, can lead us to believe sometimes that certain roles are not our responsibility. Of course, there are groups in our fellowship who have specific roles, responsibilities, and the service that they offer. Our ministers, the leadership team, and those who lead our other activities like messy church and home groups, well-being cafe and so on. But those things are not what we're talking about here. This concerns our own personal acts of service outside those more formal structures. Like the disciples, we can often avoid doing certain tasks because we think they'll be picked up by someone else. What we can take from Jesus' example is that we should share equally in showing kindness to each other, and we shouldn't be under the impression that all acts of kindness or service are reserved for particular sections of society or roles within our fellowship. We need to practice being humble in our service. When we consider that the act of feet washing was usually reserved for the lowliest slave, we come to realize that what Jesus did is the signpost to serving others with humility. What we can learn from his example is that our acts of love should be devoid of pride. Some acts of love and kindness don't require us to put ourselves in a position of discomfort. But the one that Christ performed here signifies that sometimes discomfort is necessary in service. Arrogance and pride are the antithesis of humility. But we also need to be prepared to accept service. Take a moment now and think. Do I allow others to be a service to me as well? This component for many can be more challenging than caring for others. However, we do need to be prepared to accept these reminders from others about how much they love and care for us as well. The Bible reminds us that we are loved unconditionally and are worthy. At times, we may feel the complete opposite and hold ourselves back from being offered kindness and being tended to. However, it is a great moment for both parties to be reminded of unpretentiousness and love. For many caregivers, it can be hard to remember to focus on their own health and well-being. If you know someone like this, or if you're a caregiver yourself, remember that these small acts of love and kindness, whether given or received, can bring benefit for both. So much for the lessons. Now, finally, let's come to the business of putting theory into practice to honour Christ's example and instruction. After all, he said, "So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. If you understand what I'm telling you, act like it and live a blessed life." Firstly, we can honour Christ by going to him for our daily cleansing and refreshment, to have our spiritual feet washed, to have the dust of this selfish, greedy, unjust and imperfect world washed away from us, to confess how the world has influenced our thoughts, words and deeds, and ask for forgiveness, to seek the refreshment that only Christ's living waters can bring to our souls. Secondly, we can honour others with our service, bringing refreshment to their souls with all humility and without boundaries. We don't necessarily have to show our humility by washing someone's feet, but there are many more appropriate ways that don't require that. Engage in a random act of kindness. Call someone just to check in on how they're doing. Share words of love and appreciation. Make amends for something you've done that may have been hurtful. Lend a listening ear to someone going through tough times. Support someone. despite if you agree with their choices or not. Stand up for those who are unable to do so for themselves. The list is endless. We can just constantly find ways to use our God-given gifts to honour Christ by caring for and serving others. And don't forget to receive care and refreshment when it's offered to you as well. Let me close with a short prayer. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to the practical needs of people we encounter daily. Give us servant hearts so that we lay down our lives and address the simple needs of others, no matter how much humility is needed to meet them. In a society where pride and selfishness reigns, let us be those who are not so proud that we ignore others in their time of need, or so selfish that we rely on someone else to pick up the task we neglect. Let us reflect your love in a way that gives meaningful help and support for the lost and those in need. Amen.